Race of Jury. Jury, who are the biological hybrid of sundry races with a common strain deriving from those forces which control them and which are not visible to the average person. These forces are the reptilian transdimensionals from Alpha Draconis in the Orion constellation and other regions of the galaxy who have genetically engineered Jury millennia ago to occupy until I come, in preparation for their kingdom of heaven called Zion. Many sources confirmed this, though most give only partial truth and must be read carefully between the lines in order to understand the ultimate origin and cause of world unrest. The section Space Invaders in the work Lord of the World presents myriad sources of this kind. This conspiracy, so vast and ancient as to be incredible in the minds of the contemporary masses who look toward the past only in terms of decades and have no acquaintance with the millennial-old history of this world, is of necessity unidentifiable to the. However, with the presentation and adequate spread of specific ideas and evidence throughout the historical record, even the most obtuse can come to identify these conspirators, and this is what they fear: exposure, as it leads to their removal through the appropriate level of reasonable force deployed against them. To straighten out the white man's thinking was the goal of Ben Klassen, founder of the creativity movement and author of the works Nature's Eternal Religion and the White Man's Bible. In these works and others, he attempted to clarify the world situation and to awaken the white race to expose and oppose the Jew and all of the anti-white minions of the Jew for the survival, expansion and advancement of the white race and the white race alone. This basic template has served well in accomplishing this goal, and the principle of straightening of the white man's thinking is sound and essential for the achievement of this purpose. Hence one must, as aforesaid, sharpen one's wits through developing a higher reason and understanding as a means of fighting what Klassen called the Rahoa against the evil tide of the dark forces and their earthly representatives, Jury and their affiliates. The disinformation agents of the conspiracy, they whose role and purpose it is to cloud the light of truth with lies and irrelevant information, are funded or voluntarily contribute to this ongoing campaign of semantic and informational fog, generating a perpetual haze of grey mist and employing their gaslights to deceive and abuse the minds of the masses. They thus must be exposed and their agendas revealed for what they are in truth, and only then can the white man ensure he is not sidetracked and led down broad and winding roads of falsehood toward his destruction and failure to attain the survival, expansion and advancement of the white race and the white race alone. The conspiracy theorists who perpetually disseminate their theories are usually conscripted from the Jewish cabal and their Masonic affiliates to play these roles, and are put forth amongst the conspiracy crowd or sphere of investigators and pretend to hold certain views and beliefs in order to lead the naive astray. Typically they stick with certain themes and seek to advance certain ideas as their representatives or proponents, though, being actors, they are in many cases of a protean nature, able to adapt and metamorphose within the informational body of the conspiracy sphere. Some come and go after they have fulfilled their mission, and some are reinvented as another character in the game of dissemination of falsehood. Many agents are put forth to deceive the population, and their lies are corroborated by others, critiqued by yet others, but, should their lies prove effective and serve the conspiracy, they are accommodated by a sufficient number of agents or a single agent sufficiently popular to maintain that particular life such that it becomes foundational in that particular sphere as a credible and valuable theory, idea, etc. Such disinformation agents and their ideas become memes and perpetuate themselves in the consciousness of the investigators and more passive consumers of this information, which influences their behavior and actions, leading them toward serving the interests of the conspiracy even as they disseminate ideas and theories to all appearances serving to expose it. Thus the conspirators have vested interests in derailing legitimate investigation by those not kosher approved, as it conceals their operations and neutralizes any potential or actual opposition. The Pied Piper disinformation agents create false associations between truth and falsehood, between truth dangerous to the cabal and truth innocuous, create red herrings and distractions, employ emotive language and terminology, Satan, Nazi, etc. to elicit emotional reactions from the population and to becloud their reason with passion of a detrimental nature, introduce all manner of divisive and time-wasteful and irrelevant ideas and theories to distract people from the essential facts that lead to exposing and opposing the conspiracy. In the following, the writer will discuss some of these ideas and theories as a means of enabling the reader to disentangle his mind from the cobwebs of the web spinners of the conspiracy and to straighten out the white man's thinking. The particular names of organizations and groups will be omitted, though the writer could name many and put forth sound argumentation to convince a reasonable, rational, and intuitive person that these figures are probably, if not Jews, then their co-conspirator agentur. The flat earth theory was devised by Jews and posits the claim that the earth is flat and exists in what they affirm to be the firmament. This theory has been debunked by Galileo at the expense of his life, having died a martyr for truth against the despotic Catholic Church. The Catholic Church was almost certainly created by Jewry in the beginning, as any observation of contemporary paintings of the original popes reveals, all of them having been of a swarthy Sephardic appearance with black hair, pasty skin, and the characteristic Jewish nose. The Catholic Church's theology is a typical Jewish syncretism and plagiary of Hellenistic philosophy and Jewish theology. Some other co-conspirator disinformation agents have argued for its having been constructed by the Romans and Julius Caesar. However, this is patently false, as Julius Caesar was one of their agents himself. The geocentric cosmology of Catholicism served Jewry in positing Jerusalem as the center of the universe, creating a crudely physical distortion of the esoteric concept of Jerusalem for the profane to look upon as an earthly paradise, and the Jews as the earthly gods of the earth, the chosen people of God. The theory is easily disproven by the simple counterfacts of heliocentrism, which not only rationally explain but exhaustively prove the validity of heliocentrism. Indeed, one needs no theory to prove the earth isn't flat. He need only consult the historical record and the sum total of evidence regarding astrology and its correspondence with world events, and having been an accepted doctrine that serves as the foundation of the sum total of what may legitimately constitute knowledge. Heliocentrism is necessary to understand the reality of our world and the energies that influence life itself, as well as to understand that sentient life exists on other planets. It is necessary to know that we have a relationship thereto and may travel to different regions of the galaxy either through spiritual means, through black holes, or otherwise. Heliocentrism is necessary to recognize this truth. To deny this reality is to restrict human understanding to the flat earth and to plunge the population into an age of darkest ignorance, wherein any priestly caste liar can invent any lie and call it truth to deceive the population and to install shackles upon the minds of the masses. The question must then be asked: those who advocate this theory, either explicitly or implicitly by pretending to entertain the theory as if it had any credibility, are clearly deceivers, as no right-minded person could ever entertain this absurd notion given the sum total of evidence which pervades the culture of our world and has for millennia. Not only are these flat earth flatheads a danger in influencing impressionable minds and spreading the noxious ideas of a Talmudic theory, but they are, should they be associated with those who wish to expose the conspirators of this world, they cast aspersions upon the sincere and credible investigators and activists who are the true dissidents against the conspiracy, and who the conspiracy wishes to ridicule as a means of neutralizing their message through false associations. Through falsely associating truth with the obvious lie of flat earth, these disinfo agents smear the proponents of truth with their theoretical extra and defame in the eyes of the average person the true theories and their advocates. One of the tactics utilized by the conspiracy theory disinformation agents is to pretend to be a vocal proponent of a certain position against the cabal, and simultaneously to be agreeable to absurd and socially unacceptable or ludicrous theories that associate that which is absurd or idiotic with the truth. These actors come out of nowhere proclaiming to be a dissident, and after gaining a popular following introduce other elements of disinformation, either pretending an event occurred to them in their lives that associates them with the unpopular or undesirable fact, or verbalizing it, etc. Anyone playing such a role must be assumed to be an agent. To all appearances good-intentioned or benevolent or naive, these agents are fully conscious of their subversive modus operandi and are typically a Jew or a Freemason or a Christian. A simple investigation into the background of the disinformation agent can yield good results, especially in inferring who they are through their associations. Should one have worked in government or politics, and should one have been born in or around a power center or a cult center, chances are they are an agent. Additionally, should they have had any affiliation with the military, chances are they simply transferred into military intelligence and took on the role of a disinformation agent and gatherer of intelligence from they who the conspiracy has targeted. The higher up they had been, or rather higher the probability of their being a Freemason, and once a Mason always a Mason, as the oaths taken are broken only in death. Typically, one is born into this capacity or assigned this role from birth or antenatally, based upon one's astrological natal chart and the ritualistic conditions of his conception into his occult family. One of the most significant and all-encompassing conspiracy theories is that of blaming everything Jury does on the scapegoat of the Illuminati, i.e. the occult orders which serve Jury's agenda and serve as a smokescreen for their operations. This fact explains why the quasi-mainstream propaganda related to the Illuminati is revealed and has been revealed for decades, with endless talk of the Masonic or Illuminati conspiracy, with only the most reserved and qualified mention of Jury, and always as the fringe element of the Illuminati, never as a tribal group or as a distinct alien species of a malevolent nature. Thus, endless talk about what the Illuminati and Freemasons are doing is put forth in minute detail, but no mention is ever made of Jews save as above, and in most cases the actual Jews are portrayed as Anglo-American Illuminati or black nobility or a similar variant on the theme, thereby deflecting attention from Jury as a collective group toward their enemies and Shaboskoi strawmen and scapegoats. Such a conception of positing the Illuminati as the ultimate cause of world unrest is a non-causa pro causa fallacy, focusing and indeed at times hyper-focusing on subordinate causes in the hierarchy and neglecting and thereby concealing the higher echelons of power. Certain conspiracy theorists have labeled this Illuminati group as a bloodline derived from the Merovingians, black nobility, Phoenicians, Canaanites, Khazarians, etc., and that it is simply a religion with a hereditary basis, the religion of Gnostic Luciferianism. Still others, usually those who play the role of an adherent to Christianity and who are put into this position to pander to that demographic, claim the Illuminati derived from the biblical Nephilim, thereby attempting to associate the Illuminati with the Nephilim or demonic entities allegedly responsible for the fall of man. The distortion in this case lies in claiming that the fall of man, in the sense of higher beings coming onto the earth and mixing with the anthropoids, is somehow bad or evil and as a result of sin, rather than being a benevolent gesture to, as Miguel Serrano contends in his Manu, for the man to come and Adolf Hitler, the last avatar, liberate the souls of the anthropoids from the matrix of the demiurge. This was undergone through shattering their genetico-spiritual blueprint through interbreeding between themselves and the Vonir and preventing them from reincarnating on the earth and thus liberating their souls. That the Judeo-Christians wish to entrap the souls of all on this earth can be seen in their dictum and command from their God to be fruitful and multiply, to create more bodies for souls to inhabit on the earth, so that these souls may be vampirized by the entities called Sephardim and angels, and whose existence is dependent upon the vampirization of the vital force of others. The Anglo-American strawman upon whom is projected the karma for the sins of the Jews and their affiliates is one of the major deflection targets, and works hand in glove with that of the Illuminati, only on a more mundane and conventional level of conspiracy. It works hand in glove with the evil capitalist's meme and serves to channel the justified pent-up aggression of relatively intelligent white people against their own kind, creating one side of the left-wing versus right-wing dichotomy. The Rockefellers and the Bushes are various other front families that serve as scapegoats and heels in the theater of the real to transfer the hostility of the masses toward as a relatively insignificant public target and to exhaust the energies of the population on simulacra of power, thereby neutralizing opposition to the real power, the Kehillah or organized Jury. Of course, what the masses are prevented from knowing is that all or most all of these families of the Illuminati or capitalist jet set plutocrats are Jewish in whole or in part, and thus are mere actors within their tribal conspiracy, playing the role of the heel or bad guy in the dialectic of practical idealism, i.e. the black magic of the sorcerers of Zion. The left-wing side is created as the alternative and played off against the right-wing, with each side being constructed as an antagonist existing only in relation to the other and having no complete existence in and of itself save in relation to its opponent. Both sides are thus scapegoats and strawmen turned against one another, and are both serviceable as controlled opponents controlled by their hidden masters. The elite play the role of conservative or liberal ideologue and generate rhetoric in the form of books, publications and lectures which program the minds of the population to become the stereotyped figure the Jewish programmers create, and thus to be as it were fitted with the ideological and political uniform of their particular faction. In whole and in part, the secular humanist divide and conquer strategy accommodates much of the available ideology, belief systems and other mental straitjackets engineered by the architects of destruction, from Christianity on the right wing to liberalism on the left and its Gnostic or materialist versions. All publicly and broadly known ideologies and belief systems fit within this spectrum and lead, by virtue of their inner content, to the adherent taking one or the other side or some controlled opposition intermediary side. Anything which has no relation to race and is simply a universalist egalitarian ideology, that which proclaims equality and blinds itself to organic difference, this alone is made available. Within the egalitarian spectrum, all players in the game of the Jew world order, all of those whom it permits and rewards, at least at this period it simultaneously imposes an obligation upon, to have a negative behavior toward that which affirms racial or organic cultural being. This negative behavior may manifest as a stance of passive rejection, as in the case of liberalism especially, but also in the effeminate conservatism, essentially effeminate regardless of its claims to being powerful in its service to the Jew, or a more overt antagonism toward racial values in those cases which pretend to being defenders of humanity, God, etc., the more aggressive variants of the egalitarian spectrum. Hence the false dichotomy of right and left, never really having been very different in their anti-white egalitarian ideology, become, through the tension of development of the dialectical divide, eventually reconcile after much bloodshed and chaos to the further decimation of the white population and to the greater glory of Jewry, the wire pullers and hidden hand operating in the shadows. Within this right-left divide, the power of organized churchianity is at work, seeking to prop up their crumbling institutions, facilitating the chaos through mass non-white importation and through creating in tandem with the Jews a greater appearance of division between right and left, attempting to separate the sheep from the goats, creating chaos to justify their imposition of their Zion order. The Christians consciously at higher levels work with Jewry to sabotage and destroy their own race, just as they have done throughout history and from the beginning in ancient Rome. They claim they are putting a stop to the madness and blame the left for what they themselves orchestrate from behind the scenes, creating the scapegoat of the left led by Jewish subversives, the rebellious children of God. They slap the Jews on the wrist while mass murdering their own race in revolutionary bloodlust, moving toward the complete annihilation of any opposition to their Zion despotism, targeting especially the white population who are, by virtue of their higher consciousness and superlative intelligence, the greatest threat to their power. The Catholic Church advocated, and perhaps to this very day advocates, flat earth theory for a reason, that being to reduce all to a state of ignorance and keep them in the mental shackles of theological dogma and the arbitrary will of the vicarious filii Dei and his subordinates in the hierarchy of the ecclesia. Perhaps the flat earth and other ludicrous psyops are being trafficked in by Jewry and their Christian and Masonic puppets as a means of tearing down any credible theories, and most importantly stigmatizing their opposition through creating false associations between ludicrous and undesirable theories and true, making the truth teller appear mentally ill or crazy in the eyes of the average person. In contemporary times, there have been gurus of the movement who had made statements and been involved in alleged events related to implicitly advocating or supporting sexual activity with minors. Such gurus have also put forth other psyops such as violence and terrorist advocacy, and thus can be easily seen for who they are in their true light. One of the major gimmicks of Jewry in their slander of their enemies is to associate them with that which is considered vile or immoral, and on that basis potentially dangerous or harmful to society and its moral majority. bringing forth alleged representatives who espouse pro-white values and who are either homosexuals or minor attracted persons, and having them pretend to uphold conventional and otherwise pure ideals is a characteristically Jewish tactic. In the gang-stalking operations of the Cabal, which are orchestrated by Mossad and run through community policing or local neighborhood watch organizations, one of their typical low-blow tactics is as follows. The targeted individual is followed and his patterns of behavior recorded by the agents paid to gang-stalk him. Agents drop off children along his path or mobilize them to run up to the target or near the target or place them around, taking either themselves or through their agents video and or photographic evidence of the target appearing to stalk their children, being captured in the context of proximity to their children. This evidence is then presented in the community policing sessions to deceive the stupid and hypocritical people who sign up to gangstalk the target, and through this means drive the person out of society and or lead them to being set up on false charges and vilified, thereby making this false association of pure ideals with vulgarity real in the public mind, based upon the orchestration of this theater of the real. All Zionists participated in this activity and are led by their Pied Piper Jewish masters to the slaughter as the democratic mob of witless goyim hurled against truth-tellers. The neurotic mores of Abrahamic religion and its inhibition and suppression of the natural sex instinct or its utilization can be observed in the hostility of this group toward all of those not rigidly uptight and similarly inhibited. Julia A. Voller's Metaphysics of Sex holds the key to the problem of both Christian neurotic inhibition and liberal hedonic exhibitionism. The key is a more spiritually oriented view of sexuality as a mechanism of transmutation of the self, not either a vile, unclean thing as viewed through the spinster's spectacles of Abrahamism, nor as a tool or activity for the purpose of promiscuous indulgence. Both are wrong, and A. Voller is right, and this knowledge the cabal of control freaks would utilize for themselves and their own benefit, but restrict access to by the profane as means of restricting their consciousness to purely mundane and finite state of existence within the world, and not develop sufficient power through this means as means of transcending the condition of soul atrophy through either neurotic stagnation under the fetters of religion or the dissipation and fragmentation of the soul under the boundless pseudo-liberty of libertine liberalism. The notion that whites are somehow Christendom and that Christianity is somehow a pro-white or originally white religion has been critiqued by the writer in Christ Identity, pro-white or Jewish SIP, though he is unable to definitively conclude whether Christianity itself is something that could ever be spoken of as authentically white, let alone Aryan. According to such representative figures as John Chrysostom, the Israelites were Jews in a contemporary sense, and he refers explicitly to Jewry being the Israelites in his work Adversus Judaeos, a work written during the early period of the Catholic Church. The mass murder as mechanism of conversion of the white race to Christianity undergone by the Christian puppets of the Jews in the Catholic Church testifies to the fact that it is unlikely that whites considered their racial kinsmen fellow Israelites, given their willingness to murder their own kind. The greater likelihood is that the whites looked upon Christendom as those who had converted to Christianity and who had assimilated into spiritual Israel, i.e. they who had adhered to the dogma of the church regardless of whether they were the largely mixed Egyptians or other Mediterranean or Near Eastern stock. Hence it is reasonable to conclude that, at least as far as the Catholic Church is concerned, Christianity is not a religion essentially bound up with whites but simply associated with them and modified by them through the historical process, what is called Christianity today being an Aryanized Judaism though nonetheless Jewish in its origin and essence. Hence the spirit of Israel has captured the consciousness of the white race and exerted a soporific and effeminizing influence upon the warrior nature of the Aryan. This may have its virtues and vices, but they who advocate Christian identity as a white racial religion are in many cases disinformation agents put forth to neutralize opposition to the Judeo-Christian conspiracy. Another very divisive and potentially life-threatening SIP which Jews have introduced to vilify the white man is that of associating whites with terroristic insurgency. The cliché of the lone wolf or small cells fighting the system in a protracted guerrilla war, which Ben Klassen, founder of the creativity movement, claimed would be a largely futile and devastating action leading to losses of white lives beyond what he considered tolerable. The writer has critiqued this false association between whites and terrorism in his article White Terror, Jewish SIP, The Psychological Operation of White Terrorism and the Jewish Cabal. Anyone advocating illegal activity, especially in the context of violence, is either an operative or an unstable person or both, and thus must be avoided, and one from whom the wise will dissociate themselves. The psyop of terrorism being associated with whites is thus a classic tactic of vilification and denigration that has been used on juries' opponents throughout their history, with anyone they hate being portrayed to juries' allies as a danger to jury and or to others as means of influencing their allies to serve as a meat shield or sword to attack their opponents. The false flag operations orchestrated by jury and their Mossad international terrorist organization and other of their operatives are typically fabricated by them, with no such event even occurring, it having been simply an invention of their cabal and put forth in their media to create this false reality. Those events that actually occur, and few and far between as they are typically influenced by the technologies of the cabal and are performed as ritual murders. The invented theory of evolution in both the Darwinist and theosophical sense is another smokescreen to conceal the truth behind, and works hand in glove with scientism in the former case and in New Age religion in the latter, both of which deny the essential and immutable nature of racial identity, claiming that such identity is simply a transient phenomenon which comes and goes and therefore is simply a phase in the progressive march of history. Further false theories which function to create an irrelevant, false association between truth, the truth-teller and anything undesirable and bad are veganism, naturalism and sexual deviance. These theories and lifestyles are made popular in the Jew media as a mental trap into which the naive and gullible become snared and can be subsequently mocked and ridiculed and pointed at as exemplary cases of the deviant other, that which is strange or fringe in a negative sense as something undesirable. The creation of an association between the fringe and truth helps to further marginalize truth from the consciousness of the mainstream and to ward off anyone not wanting to be stigmatized with such a false association. Veganism is a United Nations agenda and is made or attempted to be made mainstream and is conventionally associated with the left wing, having a more pacifistic and effeminate behavioral influence. This condition is created in the person through their being deprived of cholesterol and adequate assimilable bioavailable amino acids and fat-soluble vitamins, amongst other essential nutrients. Cholesterol is a precursor to pregnenolone, which is a molecule related to testosterone, and the more cholesterol one has in one's diet, the more testosterone one will have, all things being equal. Over the course of several decades, representatives of the pro-white movement have advocated vegan diets in a manner to make it a consistent element or feature capable of being associated with the pro-white movement. Whether these individuals actually practiced this diet or had noble intentions in convincing others to practice it or at least to minimize the consumption of meat and animal foods is a question, although presenting such an idea before naive and in many cases weak-minded and impressionable people is a negative form of misinformation. For those less weak-minded, the advocacy of veganism on the part of the pro-white gurus may help to enable their followers to experiment with the diet and come to realize through personal experience that veganism is a nutrient-deficient death diet and justifiably advocated by the United Nations given its planetary depopulation agenda. That the average person observing the pro-white movement would see the false association between vegan advocacy and by extension the false environmentalism which is the UN's agenda being associated with the pro-white cause would serve to ward off healthy-minded people and to render any healthy-minded people interested in supporting the pro-white cause comparatively unhealthy-minded through the malnutrition of a vegan diet. Given that dietary cholesterol is necessary for brain development and function and that the brain is largely comprised of cholesterol, a vegan diet leads to neurodegeneracy owing specifically to the demyelination of the axons between neurons, preventing the optimal transmission of electrical impulses between brain cells. As regards naturalism, this ideology of stick and stone is clearly designed to associate whites and pro-whites who have become associated with it, with a crude pantheism or purely materialistic worldview, one bereft of spiritual life and thus overall a deterrent to all of those seeking a higher form of existence beyond the coarsest forms of material life. To advocate such a view drags down the consciousness and restricts the mind to the purely perishable and transient elements of life and, on this basis, severs people from a higher form of existence, indeed prescribes a soulless materialistic worldview, whether it be considered atheistic or theistic. Such a Weltanschauung plays into the hands of the enemy in preventing any connection with the greater spiritual power that whites have been disconnected from through the crude materialism and Jewish nature of Christianity, which has driven a wedge between whites and their ancestral, true tradition. Though this tradition has been somewhat preserved within Christianity in spite of its largely Jewish mindset. To espouse naturalism thus functions to lead white followers of these gurus toward a state of materialism and atheism, or a crude neo-pagan alternative within the paradigm of nature in the sense only of what is visible and tangibly available to the five senses. This allows Christians and organized religion to condemn pro-whites as mere pantheists or atheists or pagans, and thus to asperse and denigrate them while exalting themselves in the process over and against them. Thus naturalism as a Weltanschauung can only be adopted and be of benefit to whites if it acknowledges and incorporates higher dimensions and forces with which one is related to and in relation to which one may empower oneself and become who he is. That is to say, a living God through the magnum opus or great work of spiritual development. Insofar it is acceptable, if not it is an undue limitation of white consciousness. That there are other dimensions and states of existence than pure physicality can easily be observed through such evidence of ESP and psi abilities as revealed in video footage of Nina Kalugina and Gielian photography, amongst countless other sources. Many of the pro-white gurus were undoubtedly some type of initiate and probably Freemasons, though perhaps they were dissident Freemasons. This writer cannot make claims to know, but suspects it is the truth given the color symbolism and language, which alludes to evolution and fighting the evil tide against time, etc., all connotative of cosmological ideas related to Vedism and Luciferianism. Indeed, the leftward swastika of the National Socialists itself is a symbol connoting imminent transcendence and opposition to the cycles of demiurgic time flow, the evil tide as Ben Klassen called it, and its entropic process leading to the atrophy and extinction of the soul through the incarnations. The rightward direction is embraced by all worshippers of the One or Demiurge, a pacifistic subordination before the One leading to a failed development of the soul and consequent extinction. The Christians in the realm of conspiracy theory are perpetually attempting to brand all of their enemies Satanists or Luciferians, and attempting to associate these two terms together to make an equation between the spiritual development of Luciferianism and the black magic of Jewry the Christians have been conditioned to associate with Satanism, a term employed simply to designate violent and harmful black magic, i.e. witchcraft harming others. However, what they fail to understand is that this term Satan is simply a Hebrew word denoting adversary, meaning an adversary of Yahweh Jehovah, the Jewish God, and accordingly has no correspondence as far as the writer is aware to any actually existent being saved within the theology of Christianity. Thus Luciferian is a term that has, through the Christian and to some extent Gnostic lens, received a stigma which bears no relation to the essential nature of this term. This term also, similar to that of Satan, does not refer to any actually existent being named Lucifer, but is instead an initiatic concept oppositional to the sheep-like conformism of Christian ideology. Hence it is simply a term designative on the process of spiritual development, which can be both negative and positive depending on who has appropriated the label for themselves and the purpose to which it is put, essence being correlated with existence, the nature of the thing being inferable from its function or behavior. For more on this confusion as regards the concept of Lucifer, the writer refers the reader to the writer's article Lucifer. The knee-jerk reactionary conservative, full of emotion and irrationality, lashes out with violence upon hearing such terms, and this according to their programming, especially in the case of those who have a Christian background, who have grown up during the period when Christianity was a culturally pervasive phenomenon. Another and perhaps most disturbing ideology which has been concocted by Jewry to stigmatize whites is that of associating sexual deviance with the pro-white cause. Catholic authors have written slanderous works such as The Pink Swastika, which has attempted to portray the National Socialists as sexually deviant homosexuals as a means of slandering and aspersing National Socialism in an ad hominem style. The smear tactic is a staple in the arsenal of Jewry and their minions, the worshippers of the Jewish male Christ, the behavior of a homosexual in the case of those who are male. As regards evolution, granted that all things change and modify to a degree given their time and place in relation to others, this does not of course imply that evolution is true or that the primordial tradition contains the fact of involution is not true. Involution from higher beings is posited by theosophists and denied by Darwinians, but in the case of the former there is simultaneously an affirmation of evolution of the soul, not simply a devolution or modification of either the inner kernel of one's being or of only the perishable and non-essential elements of one's being. In either case, a progressivist worldview is put forth and an egalitarian one as well, which denies the essential value of race. At least this has been associated with these conceptions in more recent times. Perhaps this is not necessarily bound up with the original views entirely. Regardless, the original conceptions recognized race only, that race was evolving and, in the case of theosophy, the souls of lower races would evolve into the bodies of higher races. This is a conception present in Mormon doctrine and also the version of Rosicrucianism espoused by the occultist Max Heindel in his Rosicrucian Cosmo-Conception. The compilation Illuminati Racial Doctrine contains selections as regards the evolutionary conception of theosophism. As to Darwinism, it may be compatible with racial views, especially pro-white views, though it restricts one's understanding to what the writer would contend to be a false paradigm, a generally false conception of reality being overly materialistic and denying higher reality and affirming generally false conceptions such as apes evolving into humans and out of Africa theory, as well as having no evidence for its acceptance, e.g., no missing link ever having existed between different distinct species. The work The Mysterious Origins of Hybrid Man by Susan B. Martinez reveals evidence that shows the diverse anthropoidal beings who existed on the Earth throughout the millennia. Thus, evolutionary theory might have merit as far as interpreting modification of diverse kinds under variable conditions is correct, though the notion that everything is evolving is a question the writer can't answer. What he can say, however, regarding evolutionary theory is that attempting to explain the behavior, origin and existence of whites in its terms is not only woefully inadequate but can be easily disproven. Works such as We Will Not Celebrate the Death of the White Gods by Miguel Serrano, The Secret Doctrine Part 2 Anthropogenesis, Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, The OAS Bible by John Newbery and to some extent Der Graal als Nordisches Mysterium by Julius A. Voller hold the key to understanding anthropogenesis. One more psyoptypically employed by the cabal in its vilification of whites is a putting forth a simulacrum of Nazis in place of themselves to transfer upon their most hated foe, the white racial loyalists, their own karma for what they themselves do, using their media to mind control the public into identifying the cause of world unrest with some surreptitious hidden Nazi faction and themselves as the defenders and protectors of humanity, the mixed multitude, champions of the victims, defenders of the weak and meek. Though Hitler and throughout the history of the world benevolent whites of all sorts have assisted non-whites, these same are stigmatized as the abusers, exploiters and murderers of the non-white masses, while the Jews, they who in large part instigated the genocidal campaigns against non-whites and who concealed themselves behind their proxies, the Christians, are represented as benevolent shepherd kings. They alone who are worthy of global dominion, put forth always in an implied and passive way as simply being set apart by their alleged God for the priesthood to rule over the non-whites. Thus, with such a passive and to all appearances humble and benign means of presenting their supremacistic intentions, the witless masses are deceived into agreeing to having the yoke placed around their necks, subordinating themselves as cattle before their priests of the order of Melchizedek and the rabbi rulers of the intended Zion despotism. The stigmatization and vilification of the Nazis by Jewry in their media and by extension white people as a collective group upon whom is projected the stigma, to create an association with the white man and the satanic, evil Nazi, is undergone in a way that, through the medium of transmission and the form of the message, violent, aggressive, etc., creates hatred and fear in the average person, especially those who are not white, and self-loathing in those who are such that as an outcome whites are. The consequence is that whites are looked upon as inherently evil and irredeemable, and thus are led to the slaughter by those who are not white, and indeed by the cowardly white race traitors who seek to attack their own race out of a desire to curry favor with popular opinion and to avoid any such controversial traits being attached to themselves. The psyop of the Nephilim is brought in and associated with Nazis through the invented narratives of Jewry attempting to associate by way of a connection with the Nazis white people with the Nephilim. Thus one false association is used with another to connect whites with demonic entities and thus set them up for the slaughter, again substituting what Jews themselves are with whites, namely the offspring or genetically engineered hybrids of Neanderthals and reptilian aliens. Whites, they who derive from higher beings, are thus portrayed as deriving from devils, and it is indeed easily observable in this case that demon et deus inversus, God is the devil inverted, as Blavatsky said in The Secret Doctrine, and the transvaluation of all values that was initiated by the Shandal religion of Jewry has become a fait accompli. What is good in the classical sense is portrayed as evil, and what is bad considered in the classical sense is portrayed as good, i.e. moral or desirable, virtuous, approved by God. In this instance can be seen the inverted world manufactured by Jewry as the architects of destruction of all of that which is higher, attempting to drag down to the lowest level all of that which is higher, all difference and the superior types, rendering the leveled mass more easily enslaved. The psyops run by Jewry and their operatives are all undergone to serve this purpose of melting down all difference into the shit stew, as Matt Hale called it, so that it can be molded into bricks in their Solomon's temple. The psyops of organized religions and various false ideologies concocted out of the mind of Jewry serve this purpose, either to stigmatize and attack their enemies as a means of neutralizing them or of maintaining their slave plantation. To ignore the particular means through which these ideologies are orchestrated, their function and the negative consequences of allowing them to perpetuate themselves is to allow another Christianity and dark age of ignorance to manifest rather than the manifest destiny of the Aryan race to attain its proper role as leadership over the earth. It is a disjunctive choice that all are faced with, either a highway to hell through ignoring reality and not seeking to oppose it, or to follow the upward path toward the heights of the Superman and a new golden age, finally having severed the mental shackles of Jewish witchcraft from one's mind. References at Versus Studios, John Chrysostom, The Mysterious Origins of Hybrid Man, Susan B. Martinez, Falling Flat, A Refutation of Flat Earth Claims, Drive. Danny Faulkner, The Secret Doctrine, Part 2, Anthropogenesis, Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, The Metaphysics of Sex, Der Graales Nordisches Mysterium, Julius Savolo, Adolf Hitler, The Last Avatar, Manu, For the Man to Come, Miguel Serrano, O Asp Bible, John Newbra, 1882 edition, The Rosicrucian Cosmo Conception, Max Heindel, Rahowa, This Planet is All Ours, The White Man's Bible, Nature's Eternal Religion, Ben Klassen, Illuminati Racial Doctrine, compiled by Loki Hulgard, Christ Identity, Pro-White or Jewish SIP. White Terror, Jewish SIP, The Psychological Operation of White Terrorism and the Jewish Cabal, Lucifer, Loki Hulgard, Space Invaders from Lord of the World, Loki Hulgard, Psi Development, Joy of Satan Ministries, 6-month program Logic Development, A Pragmatic Theory of Fallacy, D.N. Walton. Don't be a conspirator, transcending race, the notion that racial identity is an obstacle or barrier, an obstruction of progress, spiritual or material, has been introduced into the minds of the white race during the last century and in a more subtle form prior to this point throughout the Piscean Age of Christian hegemony. The idea has seeped into the consciousness of whites that there is something problematic or wrong about the existence of race, and that it is an immorality that it exists not only as an idea but as a biological fact. They have been led by the hidden forces which control this world to embrace their own destruction, and any who would oppose this genocidal program they lash out at with violent aggression and obstruct and undermine in every effective way they are able, working as a collective mob to prevent others from existing and fulfilling their proper destiny on the earth. Thus can be observed the situation of our world. On the one hand, there is a group of people, not all of whom are white, who advocate and support the continuance of the white race, and on the other hand, people who advocate the extermination of white people under whatever label or excuse, employing euphemistic language to realize their objectives, purporting to be a shining star of virtue on this basis and acting in service to this agenda. Thus the world situation is a disjunctive one of total conflict of principles and praxis. Either one is anti-white, advocating the extermination of whites, or one is pro-white, advocating their preservation. This idea of an equation between racial identity and immorality or vice, or that which is wholly opprobrious and undesirable, has been contrived within the last century by the hidden forces and with malice aforethought, which is then effective means of demoralizing whites and associating their existence with that which is intolerable and morally vicious. On the basis of this contrived morality, the white population have had their minds so intoxicated with false principles and ideological propaganda that they have no understanding of reality and live in a manner detrimental to their survival and existence. They have interiorized principles in their conscious mind that lead to their destruction, and which principles are suicide programs that negate any desire to resist their displacement and destruction. They have been conditioned to conceive of the notion that racial identity is a fact that should simply be ignored or indeed condemned as immoral or denial outright as a fact. Thus they have been indoctrinated to affirm that they can transcend race and are beyond racial identity, that indeed, they who cling to this identity are merely crude and vulgar materialists lacking all spiritual life on the one hand, and on the other hand they are pathetic and worthless people having nothing better to do or being unable to achieve anything worthwhile, and thus having to have recourse to clinging to the crudest and most vulgar aspect of their being as means of inflating their egotistical sense of self-worth. Indeed, the Illuminists and Christians affirm that as a signifier of their value and indeed the defining criterion of their value, their transcendent nature, that they are able through various spiritual practices and exercises to transcend the material plane of being and to, per impossibile, transcend racial identity. However, they are as usual in error in such a stance, being strong on emotion and short on logic, and committing the logical fallacy of secundum quid, and that to imply the transcendence of racial identity is equivalent to transcendence itself is a fallacy. True transcendence may only be attained not through ignoring or denying racial identity, but through itself, through affirming racial identity and integrating it into oneself not only as a mere thought form but as a fundamental aspect of one's being, and of consolidating and grounding all aspects of one's being in a fully integrated unitary being, mind, body, and soul. The error of the self-proclaimed transcendent, spiritually illuminated is an error deliberately seeded into their consciousness by the hidden hand as a means of sabotaging and destroying their ability to develop themselves completely, and as a means of neutralizing the leadership of the white race, thereby decapitating it and rendering it an impotent adversary. Kill the king, kill the kingdom. The ideas the hidden hand has instilled in the consciousness of the population are designed to distract them from who their enemy is, and indeed to recognize that there is an enemy at all. The ideas of racial identity being equated with inferiority and the idea of transcendence are the two-pronged ideological weapons of the dark forces, at least as regards their psychological operation they deploy against whites, and especially the intelligent and powerful, as this is the head they wish to decapitate, and the means is mental anesthetization or inebriation with these false principles. Specifically, the ideas employed regarding transcendence are of a two-pronged approach, and this as a means of creating division between the white population and turning them against one another. On the one hand, the egalitarian idea of raceless humanity typically associated with liberal secular humanism, and on the other hand a similar concept based upon interpretations of the Christian book passage, "There is neither Jew nor Greek." According to this interpretation, implying that racial identity is of no value or meaning as all are one in Christ, i.e., the physical biological reality or racial special identity is of no worth owing to a pseudo-spiritual glaze that is painted on the diverse races species of what has become identified with the Enlightenment period and the false notion of humanity, a Freemasonic idea having no basis in reality. The liberal secular humanist idea is the focal point of the humanist naturalist ideology of worldly humanism, that which confines itself to the mundane plane of spatio-temporal manifestation, and within this matrix only that which can be observed in terms of gross materialism, phenomenal existence is affirmed to be a reality. This ideology posits humanity, by which is meant a collection of remotely similar or different bipedal anthropoidal biological organisms, as humanity, in that this group is the most significant feature of the world and thus must be celebrated and catered to, such that various packages of basic rights and freedoms are granted thereto, and they who would not celebrate or support this ideology are to be ostracized, according to the programming of their creed, as a virulent enemy other. The liberal exalts humanity as his standard and conceives of himself, in his naturalistic terms, as being beyond biological race owing to his adhering to this creed of secular humanism, affirming that anyone, regardless of race, can attain any and everything anyone human can, and therefore the fact of biological species is irrelevant and meaningless. They affirm it is simply a question of tweaking the gears and parts of their system of socio-economic political human invented artificial reality in order to equalize the unequal. They posit this as their goal and ultimate virtue, that of dragging down the higher and mixing it with the lower and picking up the lower and enabling it to step upon the higher. This they call virtue, and this serves as a display of their self-delusive transcendental consciousness, which not only denies race or biological fact in terms of meaningful difference, but affirms biological species radically different as the same. Accordingly, the secular humanist lives in a state not of transcendence but of inner contradiction, affirming that biological nature is real, that all of that which is palpable, observable to the five senses and measurable, or that which can be subjected to chemical analyses or other forms of so-called scientific scrutiny, and simultaneously that it is not real in terms of the same criteria or means of scrutiny when applied to particular species, races or types. This latter is denied, and this in a contradictory manner, owing to the hypocrisy and reality denial of those who would adhere to a naturalistic worldview while only going halfway, still trapped within their Freemasonic Enlightenment humanist luminous ideology of race denialism. These Illuminists are Judaized Gentiles, being the Goy counterpart of the Jewish cabal, having interiorized in their consciousness the Jewish ideas of Illuminism, of a transcendent flight from reality through various ritualistic means, and a pantheistic naturalism that grounds the allegedly transcendent being in the world while purporting to be not of the world. The Masonic Illuminist creed renders whites servile to Jewry, who are coerced as condition of elevation in the hierarchy of corruption to take an oath to serve the Jewish nation. The notion of transcendence through the degrees of illumination in Masonry is the bait that is held out by Jewry to their goyim as a means of beguiling them to devote themselves to Jewry. However, rather than transcending reality, the Gentile Masons instead become possessed by the entities with whom Jewry is bound, and far from transcending reality are instead devoured by the entities who vampirize their soul and consume them in the afterlife. The greater degree of light, the more possessed they become, and the more shrouded in the glare of the false light of Illuminism. Thus the deception of transcendence is held out as bait by Jewry, who employ it as a means of enslaving the leadership of foreign nations and subordinating them to themselves. The same applies to Christianity. Christians, sitting in their churches, are bound to entities which feed off their souls and who they call angels. They are deceived by Jewry and by Jewry's invented ideology of Christ to serve their chosen masters and subordinate themselves thereto for a sense of self-righteous superiority, and with the prospect of deriving some illusory treasures in heaven. Both liberals and Christians, therefore, are under the spell of Jewish witchcraft, programmed from birth to adhere to foolish ideas that amount to suicide programming. The thought forms that are built into these ideologies exert a mesmeric or hypnotic influence on the population who have been spell-caught with these mental programs and conditioned through classical conditioning to operate according to their directives. The white masses, having no compass for thought beyond these limited sets of egregores, have had their thoughts restricted to these programs, and on that basis their actions have also been restricted. One need only, for sake of argument, observe the behavior of Christians to understand the effect of such mental programming, their zombified look and knee-jerk reactionary behavior, their fanatical stare of thoughtless bovine aggression, like a bull in a pen staring at an observer ready to charge at the observer at the slightest provocation. that both creeds deny the existence of race and support the condemnation of and adherence to race or even recognition thereof, and makes of this denial and condemnation a virtue leads to one of the main forms of the mental programming of these raceless egalitarian ideologies, that of the virtue signal. Within the paradigm of these creeds, virtue signaling constitutes one of the major activities or modes of behavioral manifestation of these values. To make a display of condemnation of one who supports or advocates the continuation of their kind or having regard for their particular identity is considered a behavioral signifier of importance and value. To condemn the other and to portray them in a negative light through aversive behavior is to receive, if only in one's mind, a sense of importance and, physiologically, a dopamine spike through having a sense one has done what is correct or socially acceptable according to the mores of society. To conform to the program or party line of the system by signifying in word or deed one's adherence to or implementation or enforcement of its values qualifies a person as valuable or good in relation to the standard. Thus, the feedback system neurologically and physiologically of dopamine is perpetuated through such behavioral manifestations of these egregores, the condemnation or denial of race and those who uphold racially based ideas, they who are qualified as the other. The virtue signaler has their programming reinforced, and such reinforcement encourages further behavior of this kind, a recidivism, so to speak, of the virtue signaling. Within the context of the mores of society, the more one assists those who are comparatively worthless and weak, and the more one gives up to assist they who are such, the more of a dopamine spike one has, and, amongst the moral majority, the more social capital one receives. Thus, to make a display of altruistic bestowal of one's time, money and or effort accrues to oneself treasures in terms of social capital, reputation, a favorable opinion of oneself in the eyes of others, and social advantages, power, money, position, etc. This and the feelings one accrues in such displays and in proportion to the sensationalistic nature of these displays is correlated with dopamine and social capital treasure, which motivates the virtue signaler to perpetuate their anti-racist activity. Thus, owing to the social rewards gleaned through such behavior, virtue signaling has become a habitual tendency in the behavior of the moral majority, with their perpetual displays of altruistic other regard granting them their dopamine spikes and reputation brownie points, the moral majority especially basing their entire existence upon these arrogant displays of self-importance, to all appearances altruistic but in reality motivated by egotism and a desire for social recognition and self-aggrandizement. They who have the brightest virtue signal shine it in the face of the other to the greatest extent that correlates with greater reward. The competition amongst the members of society making their virtue signals is the very substance of the moral majority's existence. They who base their existence on their moral superiority and whose action orients around enforcing or policing what they call morality, i.e., forcing others to conform to the politically correct agenda of anti-white hatred and non-white worship. Race denialism and condemnation are the two concrete pillars which support the temple of the multicult and its anti-whiteness. These pillars are fissured and cracked as poorly made and easily dismantled with the sword of truth. However, given the relativity of forces and the preponderant share of power on the anti-white side, the possibility of undermining this temple of falsehood with the weapons of truth is nearly non-existent. To attempt to critique the obvious falsehood of the multicult and its deliberate ignorance and vilification of racial reality is a non-option owing to the system suppressing speech and monopolizing the organs of information, thereby controlling what information people receive and in what form.